Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah. It's God's word to his people, instructions of what they're supposed to do when they go into exile. A very, very difficult time. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. We're wonderfully privileged, as George said at the beginning of the service, to have David Moody with us today. He comes from Family Church of Heritage Green, and he's already been a great inspiration to numbers of our people who have been up there to hear what the Lord is doing there and have seen David in other settings. We're glad we get to have him here this morning. You know, listening to Mike read, listening to Matt, the praise team lead in music, it's all been part of our worship, and God's knitting it all together, but now comes a part that's got to fit together with it, and it's God's word being offered to us. Would you just hold your hands out, maybe, if you wish, as those just able to receive from the Lord through his word as David speaks to us this morning. So, living God, come and in the power of the Spirit, let an anointing and a peace, a real intimate sense of your presence rest with David, and in and through and with him, speak your truth, show yourself, reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow, thank you so much for having me with you. 185th anniversary, that's so amazing, and I just feel so proud that I get to be with you. I want you to know that Heritage Green considers you guys sort of a sister church with the support that you gave us last year when we were doing our replant and just the encouragement. We just felt that support all the way through, and so I'm so glad I get to celebrate with you. And I just have to say, I've been talking with George about this for a while, and I love the way that you have been celebrating this 185th anniversary. I love it. I mean, you could have been thinking about, you know, patting yourselves on the back. You could have been saying, wow, what a great job we did. Look at us. Yay, we made it to 185. You could have been, you know, going around giving each other gifts, and you could have been, you know, patting each other on the back. But instead of that, what you guys have been doing is reaching out to the community. I love that you've been hosting kids' entertainers and concerts and dinners and food and entertainment. You've been pouring out into the community. You've been celebrating by saying thank you to this group of neighbors around you. I love that you've been looking outward instead of inward, because it's so much easier to look at ourselves and say, look what we've done. But what you are doing is looking out to the community and saying, thank you for making us part of your lives. That is so precious to us. Thank you for letting us have a home here and being part of this church and letting us be part of your lives. So I'm amazed by that. I'm inspired by that, and I want to applaud you on that. That is just a beautiful way to celebrate. And it's hard, isn't it, to keep that focus out? It's really hard to keep the focus out because there's a balance, I think, that we have to find. I mean, we want to focus out, we want to give our, and serve and look to our community, we want to do all those good things, and yet, you know, we got to take care of ourselves as well. We have to look inwards, we have to make sure that we're strong and healthy, because common sense says that if the church is healthy, then we can serve the community and help them be healthy. So it kind of common sense says, focus in so that you could focus out. And so how do you find that balance of in versus out? How do you find that tension point between when do we have to really build ourselves up and when can we afford to kind of spill out into the community? And I want to tell you that that question of in versus out has been something that we've really been struggling with and facing at Heritage Green in the middle of this replant. And to understand that, I got to give you a little history. So Heritage Green up on Stony Creek Mountain, the church has been there since the late 80s. And it was planted there by Peter Walter, and the vision was, to be this source of strength and health and hope to the community, you know, to really be this beacon of Christ in that community and to draw strength and to grow strength and health in the families around the church. That was the plan. In fact, there's a really good word for that kind of health and holiness and togetherness that we were looking for. It's an Old Testament word. It's a Hebrew word, and you've probably heard it before. The word is shalom. You heard that word before? This is the word And we usually think of it as like a greeting between two rabbis, or maybe we've heard it translated as peace. But I'll tell you, shalom is actually a much richer word than that. It's a much more powerful and deep word. In fact, the word shalom really comes with this connotation of wholeness, of completeness. Like if you've got shalom, you're not just feeling peaceful, but you're at peace. You know that deep sleep you get when everything's going well at work and everything's going well in your family and everything just came together at this point and you go to bed at night and you lie down, you curl up and you go, wow, I am just so at peace right now. Everything is okay. And you get that deep, rich sleep. That's shalom, but not because of circumstances. Shalom is because you're so trusting in God. You're so anchored in His love that you can sleep like that knowing, well, God's got this. That's shalom. And that's, as a church, what we wanted for the community. That's why we were planted there, to bring shalom to the community. But of course, common sense says you got to have health in your church before you can see health in your community. So that's what the church sought. And very, very early on, something tragic happened. Peter Walter, who founded the church, passed away before our current building was even finished. And that shalom kind of went in the toilet. We sort of lost our way a bit, and the church went through a series of roller coasters up and down to the point where it was really struggling. Like, it was really hard to stay open with the number of people that were there last year. In fact, it was really only able to stay open because of the daycare. If the daycare weren't there providing income, then we probably wouldn't have even been able to continue. And the daycare had taken over most of the building. It was pretty much a daycare with a church attached to it, not the other way around. So here comes this crazy idea to the church that we're going to replant, that it's going to become a family-focused church and go back to that original story of bringing health to the community. And people were excited and scared and a little nervous, but they were committed and said, you know, no matter what it takes, we'll do it. Even if it means getting rid of that daycare that's in our building so that we have room to grow, we're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to be that shalom. And so we were thinking, we got to get healthy, we got to get strong, we got to have good worship service, we got to be good and strong inside the church, because common sense says if you're healthy in the church, you can be healthy for the community. And so that's what we had in our minds. That's what we're going to do. We're going to become healthy. And so very early when Alex and I, the other minister and I, started there in July, we wanted to preach this message of let's see God's shalom, let's hear His promises. And so we went back to one of the most, I don't know, I'm going to call it an anchor of God's promise, an anchor of God's promise for shalom, one that you can just fall back on again and again, one that's so good you'll find it on plaques and greeting cards. It's an amazing verse, and it's found in this passage, Jeremiah 29:11, and you'll probably recognize it. It's, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to bring you hope and a future." What a great verse. And what's so neat to know is that word prosper. It says plans to prosper you and not harm you. That word prosper in the Hebrew is actually that word shalom. Plans to bring you shalom and not harm. Deep, abiding, comforting peace. So that passage says it all, right? You know, plans to bring you hope and a future. That's what we wanted. That's what we were craving as a congregation, shalom that comes with a future and hope. So we were going to preach on this passage because we're so clever. And so we brought this passage out. But the thing is with preaching, and here's what God likes to do, is when you preach, you don't just get to preach the passage that you want. You have to preach the context. You have to look at what God was saying when he said that, to whom he was saying it, and why he was saying it. So we said, okay, we'll do our work, and because we already know. We know what it says, right? So we started digging into God's word. Okay, we hit a shocker. And to explain this, I got to give you now the Hebrews context during this time in history. So Mike already alluded to it, that this was a really, really bad time in the Hebrews' history. Really bad time for God's people. Why? Well, really, actually, they brought it on themselves. They'd been really unfaithful for a long time to God, and God kept saying, you know, you can't keep this up. I'm not going to let you stay in this land that I brought you if you're not going to uphold your end of the promise, if you're going to keep turning your back on me. And they said, we're fine. And then one day God said, I'm done. You guys are going to get exiled from your homeland. I'm letting the Babylonians come in. And the Babylonians, of all people, they were the worst of the worst. They were like, any Leafs fans here? Yeah, that would be like Montreal coming in and taking over. They're like, we're taking your team. No, I mean, it was that bad. It was like, not the Babylonians. Oh, my goodness. And they were in denial. They're like, no, it's not going to happen. And false prophets were saying, don't worry, that's not going to happen. And here in this passage, Jeremiah is getting God's word, and he's delivering God's word. So he's speaking for God to the people, and he says to them, here's the deal. Yes, you are getting kicked out. Yes, this is going to happen, and it's not going to be for 1 year or 2 years or 5 years. I'm going to have you exiled for 70 long years. That's generations of families. You're going to be exiled from your land. And they're like, no, yes, this is what's happening. But then he starts to speak hope, and this is what he says. He says, you're going to be there for a long time, so I want you to settle in. I want you to build houses and grow gardens. I want you to get married and have kids, and I want your kids to grow up and them to get married and them to have kids. I want you to settle into this land. I want you to make it your own. So you're going to be there for a while. So I could see the Israelites kind of nodding, okay, this is what we're going to do. We'll settle into the land. And this is the shocker. Shocker for them, shocker for us. It's verse 7. Remember, I picked this passage for verse 11, but verse 7 smacked me upside the head. And this is what it says. Listen to this verse. Also, this is God speaking to the Israelites, also work for the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Pray to the Lord for the people of Babylon, because if it prospers, you prosper. And just in case, before I go into this, I just want to point out that there's three times the word prosper occurs in this passage. Each time it's the word shalom. Three times the word shalom, the thing that we're seeking, shows up in this passage. If we're looking for the key to shalom, it's got to be in the passage with three shaloms in it. And the passage is seek the peace and seek the shalom of Babylon, the villains. Pray to the Lord for it, because if Babylon has shalom, you will have shalom. Can you imagine the Israelites saying, wait a minute, we've got to work for the prosperity and the peace and the shalom of the Babylonians? I mean, they're evil, they're awful, they're terrible people. You want us to work for them? And not only that, you want us to pray to you for them? How does that make sense? I thought we were your people. I thought we were the ones you wanted to grow and make healthy. Apparently, we're supposed to work and pray for this community around us because, listen to the last line, if it prospers, if Babylon prospers, well, then you too will prosper. If Babylon has shalom, that the community around you, your neighbors have shalom, then guess what? You'll find shalom too. Do you know what a shocker this was? I was reading this passage and we were with Alex and we're just thinking and praying about what God's going to do. And we've been having these ideas about Maybe we're going to have to move the daycare out because, you know, they're encroaching on our space. And all of a sudden, this passage says to us, look at the community around you, work for them, pray for them, do everything you can to bring shalom to this community that you're with, because if they prosper, you will prosper. And it was like God hit me upside the head and said, you have a group of families just down the hall that are from this community that I love, that I want to pour into, that I've placed you here to serve, and you're kicking them out of the building? This is your plan as a family church? This passage just turned us 180. Should I say 185? It's the anniversary. It turned us 180 on what we were thinking. And we realized if we wanted to grow as a church, if we wanted to be healthy and whole and holy, if we really wanted to pursue that health, the very best thing we could do, according to God's own word, was to work for the health and wholeness and holiness of the families around us. And the very closest families to us were the ones in the daycare. And so that very week, we started to ask the question of ourselves and our session and our church together, what can we do to pour into the families of the daycare? What can we do to bless them unconditionally in practical and tangible and loving ways, to the point where one day they would wake up and go, you know, if that church left, I don't know how we'd function anymore as a family because they're so important to us. And we started asking that question. That became our white-hot mission, is how do we pour into those families because they're the ones that God has given us to bless. And I promise you, we have not cracked that nut, but what we have done is all kinds of things, everything we could think of and everything they would respond to. We offered breakfast, we've done reading for their kids, we've babysat them so they can go shopping at different times, we've hosted parties and hosted breakfasts and opened up our church to them whenever they need to use it. We're asking and we're praying and we're inviting God to show us new ways all the time. And that little beginning is starting to now go in this next year into the community around us with that same kind of energy. What can we do to pour into the community around us? And guess what God did with that offering of blessing? The more we pour into the daycare, the more we poured into the community, the more God grew our church. And I can tell you the human reasons. It's because they look and they see a church that cares about kids and says, well, then I don't mind bringing my family there. Maybe there's something there that will help our health. That's the human reason. But I guarantee you the divine reason is because we're doing what's on God's heart. We're obeying what's... He's got a heart for that community bigger than ours. He loves those families dearly and wants them to stay together. He wants families and couples to hold on together and fight through the difficult times. He wants them to raise their kids to be strong and healthy and confident, but also to know Him. This is His heart. And we get to join Him in His heart. Well, whenever you join God in His heart, you're going to see amazing things happen. Work and pray. So I described the working. We took the praying very seriously too. You know, we get the privilege as the church in Heritage Green to be the ones who invite God into those families and communities. That's actually our job. That's the privilege God has given us by placing us as Christ in that community. We get to pray for those families and say, God, we invite you into this neighborhood. And so we've done it. We've walked down the hall and we've done prayer walks on a Sunday. We actually walked out into the neighborhoods around on a Sunday and we prayed. We prayed the words of Scripture over those communities. We pray weekly for those families and for the daycares and for the workers there. We get to do that. We've been given that privilege and we love it. Work for the community around you. Pray for the community around you. Because as they prosper, as they grow in shalom, then you will prosper. You will grow in shalom because you're doing what God called you to do. As Jesus tends to do, he's got a really, really short way of saying this. He wouldn't have taken 20 minutes to talk to you. He would have just said his one line. And his one line is very simple. It's the second commandment he gives, one of only two. You know what the first one is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That was his first commandment. And his second one was his version of my entire sermon, which is, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're wondering what loving your neighbor looks like, he has this great little story where he talks about a man beaten up on the ditch, and the two religious people walk right by and ignore him. And the third one, who has no church connection at all, just sees him, his heart breaks for him, he takes him, he cares for him, he puts him up in a place, leaves money and food for him, tends to his wounds. And when he's done with that man, the man's health has improved. He's increased his health, he's blessed him. You want to know what loving your neighbor looks like? It looks like blessing them in tangible ways so that when you're done with them, they're healthier than they were when you started. Love your neighbor as yourself. Work and pray for the community around you, and then God will have an amazing use for you. You will be Jesus' body in that community. You will be his hands and feet and mouth and heart, and God will have no other choice but to grow and prosper you because he wants you here. He placed you here. He charged you with this community. They are yours to love and care for. You're it. There is no plan B. You are it. You are the plan for this community. Work for them, pray for them, and watch how God prospers and brings shalom to your congregation. Congratulations on 185 years of loving your community, and I just pray for 185 more. Can I just offer a word of prayer together? Can we just do that? Heavenly Father, one of the things I love is the thought of you looking down on your church community and you watching what we're up to and then smiling, that we would bring a smile to your face, that we'd lift up your countenance because of the way that we're being obedient and servant-like and the way that we're reaching out and being your love and your grace to the community. I love the thought that we're putting a smile on your face. Father, I gotta think that this whole weekend has just put a great big grin on your face, that you have looked down on the way that this church, this congregation has been reaching out around it and just said, that is very good. That is very good. That is exactly what I want my children to be doing. So Father, I thank you for this church, for their outward focus. I thank you that they lean into your promises of bringing shalom by blessing the community. And I pray that you would keep them courageous, that you would keep them brave and strong, that you would keep them trusting in your name, that God, even when the storms are hitting and wailing away at the walls, that Father, they would have a deep, peaceful sleep and slumber because they know that you are the one that this church is founded upon, the rock of your Son, Jesus Christ, and nothing can shake that rock. Nothing can build a church built on that foundation.